We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Oh, sorry. Well, look at that.
Yep, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
Seriously.
Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee. Envy is not here today, but we got two special guests. We got Marseille Martin and Kelly Rowland here. What's happening? Good morning.
How are you? Good morning. Good morning.
New movie, Fantasy Football. Yes. Starts November 25th.
Yes.
What's that about?
Well, it's about fantasy football.
And you know people love their fantasy football.
No, yes, legit. Like, you know, add my dad to it. Like, he loves the whole concept. And, yeah, basically it's about the whole Coleman house. I play Callie Coleman, which is the daughter. This is Keisha Coleman, which is my mom. And then Omari Hardwick is my dad, who is also an NFL player. And he's been in the game for a long time, you know, won a Heisman a long time ago. But he's still in his career, but then again, he's kind of in that age where he needs to retire.
He's a great bench player.
Yeah. You know, everyone agrees that he should be stepping out of his way, letting someone else, you know, lead the path, but he still believes in himself. And his daughter, which I portray, Callie, is really great at Madden. She's very tech savvy, super smart, mature beyond her years. And long story short, the craziness happens, and she ends up being able to control her dad in the game Madden. So whatever he does in real life, it's because of her. So she controls every
Oh, this is a different type of fantasy football.
Now, listen, yeah.
It's like a play on words.
It's
you know?
A Freaky Friday type of the way that it all happens. What I love about your role in this is that as a young woman, you're super tech savvy, but also great at Madden. Because I think typically we don't look at like a young girl as sitting there playing Madden, beating all the guys and everything
like
that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly her. Yeah, for sure. And that's what kind of drew me into it, is because it was so unique. And I know there's so many girls out there that love those type of games. And I, like with me as well, I'm not good at Madden, but I am a big video game person. So being able to portray someone like that is pretty dope.
Now, Kelly, you're a mom in real life. Not to of no 18-year-old, though.
No.
So when you get that call, you're like, what do you mean y'all want me to play the mom of an 18-year-old?
I was actually down for it. I was like, let's go.
Gotcha.
You know, I'll just be a young mom.
Okay.
But, you know, it is something to think about. You know, what's going on right now, like, say, with Tom Brady, he retired, but then he, you know, decided not to retire, and then his relationship suffered from it. And just seeing that kind of, I thought about that, you know, watching this and how that plays out, because it's kind of like, okay, you've been playing this long, and we want to just settle down here and stay in one place and not have to move around. And, you know, the disappointment, though, that a man would have who's been playing in the NFL his whole life, that's all he knows. And his ego really can suffer, you know, from being told, OK, you're not going to get no playing time, you know, and this younger up and coming NFL player could be the face of the brand. And it just, I'm sure for any man who's played in the NFL, will make you feel a way, because we always are like, why doesn't he just retire?
Right, exactly. And that's like the whole point of the whole entire project. We have Rome Flynn, who plays the new upcomer quarterback, like, you know, ready to take Bobby Coleman's spot, which is, of course, is Omari. So it's all that for sure.
Yeah.
Are either of you in the actual fantasy football, like real live fantasy football?
No.
Do you have a team in real life that you like?
No, it's usually Tim's team.
Yeah.
Which is the 49ers. But I do love watching Tom Brady. I loved watching Tom Brady. He had like a different kind of like monster mentality.
For sure.
He was a monster.
Yeah. It feels like y'all got like a sibling relationship. More than mother daughter. Like, even when I see y'all online doing like the TikToks and all of that kind of stuff, does that play out in real life? Like, how did y'all develop that in real life?
Yeah, I mean, how would you describe it? I mean, our bond, I don't really know. Because a lot of people are like, oh, she like your auntie. I'm like, I don't even know. I really don't. Like, she's just such a cool person to be around, and you know.
Yeah, I think
kind.
In the back of my head, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
But, I think in the back of my head, I'm like, gosh, I'm not ready to be auntie, guys. Although I am a mother. too. But I'm not ready to be auntie.
No, you're not. I heard you on Blue's album, Young Blue.
Oh, yes.
The song Freak Freak.
Yes. Yes.
I was like, nah, she not no auntie.
Why are you looking at her so judgmental, Marseille, when you heard the Freak Freak song?
No, I didn't. I was not judgmental.
Okay.
No.
It's a great song.
I just like the title. It's like, okay, Freak Freak. You know,
Marseille, people were talking about you online, too, in that Savage Fenty show.
She killed it.
You did, though. You
she
did. You killed it.
She is grown, and she killed it. Say something. Say something. Just because you watched this girl grow up, that does not mean... You know, maybe you think she's your niece in real life.
Yeah.
The truth is she's 18. Like, I do remember, like, you know, people, like, feeling like they should probably, like, you know, say, well, you're still too little. Or they've watched you grow up in front of their eyes, so they feel like they kind of, like, not own you, but...
No, they don't want to see you.
They don't want to see you.
No, on you.
No, like you know, they feel some type of protection over you. And,
yes,
you know, I would expect that. I mean, for sure, especially watching me for so long. Like, they've watched me since I was 8.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think a lot of people will think to themselves, like, oh, like, she's growing up too fast or whatever. Yeah. But I believe I'm on the right track. I'm on the right pace. I'm doing what I love. And
it was tasteful.
It was tasteful.
And you looked amazing.
And I feel like I'm all, like, you know, I can't speak for everybody else, but I believe I'm always like that, and I always stay true to myself. And you know, I would never put myself out there like that if I didn't want to. So you know, I think, like, I'm 18 now, I'm stepping foot, and you know, eventually you got to kind of come into your own, and that doesn't mean body wise or whatever. I'm just meaning just overall mentally in life, you know.
But so. Marseille gave them a walk.
Yes, she did.
She gave them the
I said,
walk.
Okay.
At like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning
she
while we were
really
filming.
Right? So that's what threw everybody off. She came out there with this body and this walk, and she was like, this is the moment. And
so you can relate to that feeling, because for you growing up in this business and people saw you as a teenager, and then it's hard for them, like, you got to... You know,
it's so
it takes
hard
a long
them.
Time.
You kidding me? The women at my mother's church would pull my skirt down, like, when they saw, and it was already to my knees, like almost to my knees. But they would always be like, "Oh yeah, baby, to be talking to you," and just slowly put your shirt down or fix your top so it's closed. Like, I still have people do that to me. I'm 41.
Who the hell still does that to you?
No,
somebody.
Look, let me put
really
somebody real quick. That's okay. Like, why?
Did you realize that October 27th, just a few weeks ago, was the 25th anniversary of Destiny's Child? No. Single being released.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was October 27th, 1997.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe? Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
How does that feel? How does that feel now that you know that?
Oh, gosh.
25 years.
Like, I am blessed to still be here in 2022.
Hey.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yes.
Hey. And thriving and also helping other people thrive, too. And I think that's important.
Yeah.
Just the experience that you've had as an artist and then helping other groups, too, and other people in the music business.
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
good.
Mm-hmm.
Marcel, you also produced this?
Yes, I did.
Congratulations.
Another one in the books. Me and my company, we're very, very proud for sure.
What's the dynamic of starring in a film that you produce?
It's hard. It's very underrated how hard.
Really?
For sure.
Explain. Break that down.
Well, I mean, one, with this one in particular, it was such a quick turnaround because we filmed it back in April. So now that it's coming out later on this year, you have ADR. We started editing like a week after we wrapped. It mm-hmm. was just a whole bunch of stuff that had to come into play. And, you know, especially for press, like bringing that on as well. It's just such, everything is so quick. But my parents are also a part of my production company. My dad is president. My mom's vice president. So
that's fire.
Yeah, it's pretty lit. It's pretty lit. And I'm very, very happy that I get to be in this journey with them for sure.
You think you're gonna have to fire one of them one day?
I mean, I could, but like, it's best that I can. But we, like, me and my parents, like,
look at her. Hey, Kim.
Little Bobby's crazy. But you know, my parents are just I feel like I always say they're built different. Like, mm-hmm. they are so real. They're so kind, and like, I just feel like I can tell them anything. They're like my best friends for sure, and they don't like. Even though they are like my coworkers in a sense, they still see me as their daughter and they want to protect me and keep me safe as well and making sure that I'm in the lane that I want to take on my own. But when it came to set, like, I would observe, I would see things, you know, I had a bunch of people around me as well. So, you know, during lunch, we would be talking like different things that I noticed, different things I would see, and then vice versa. And that's kind of how it went. But man, it was hard. Mm-hmm. It was really, really hard. But, you know, I'm very grateful that everyone is excited. We were excited filming it and creating it. And, yeah, I think it's just magic and overall just even creating a film. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't really care how the streams are or how many people watch it. The fact that we made a film with great people that we loved and support and brought everybody together that we really do care about is just, you know, a big accomplishment in itself for sure.
I feel like it's going to do really well because it's super entertaining. Thanks. And then fantasy football is such a big deal. Like,
yeah.
Everybody's so into it. And I think just the premise of it, I've never heard this as a storyline. It's hard to create something that hasn't been done before.
No, right? Absolutely. And I think that's the beauty in it as well, especially if it, you know, people are intrigued and interested about it. But, it also helps, too, that Madden and EA Sports are a part of it, too, so mm-hmm. we can really be realistic and make sure everything is down to the T, for sure. And there was a lot of meetings revolving around that and making sure.
The brand.
Like, the brand. Mm-hmm. And also, there was, you know, I see scripts, of course, as drafts, and then also, like, the movie was re-edited multiple times. Mm-hmm. So when we brought it to Madden, they're like, oh, you can't do that, or oh, we don't do that, yeah. or they're supposed to put this on. Like, you know, we had to make sure all of those things were down to the T, so I'm very grateful that they were a part of it, too. And it was so funny, because my dad is a big football person as well. So when it came down to what team Bobby Coleman was going to play for,
hilarious.
Everybody had, like, for the meeting, everyone had Broncos gear, or dad would be drinking from a Raiders cup. I was like, bro, like, it ain't gonna help. But, you know, we're really glad we get to kind of shine a light on Atlanta like we did in this film, for sure.
And we can tell you come from, like, a healthy Black family. So when you're producing, how important is it to see healthy Black families on the screen?
Oh, it's beyond important, for sure. I feel like it shows authenticity. It shows realness. And I think being able to have an opportunity to work with people like Kelly and Omari, and just to see people in different families of all different cultures just exist and be able to just have regular conversations that you would have in your own households is very important, for mm-hmm. sure, you know. Mm-hmm. So
now, Kelly, people have been wanting you to play Donna Summer.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any talks about that, or is it a
I'm just going to be quiet for right now. I'm just going to be quiet
oh,
for right
shoot.
Now.
Oh, shoot. That means it's in the works.
I'm just going to be quiet for right now.
Because she has a fascinating story.
But I no read comment David, is a really huge comment.
I read David she Geffen's really biography. A, and so a lot of that story also focuses on his relationship, you know, business-wise with Donna Summer and the things that she kind of went through.
Well, the funny thing is you know, I think that there's so many beautiful things happening with her estate. Mm-hmm. And it's really, I can't say too much. I'll just shut up.
So when they
just be quiet.
So when they reached out to you and asked you to play the role,
oh, stop how did it. You... No, stop it. Don't stop it. This is very, very early. But what I will say is that Donna Summer, has an illustrious life. And mm-hmm. it's so beautiful. And I think that seeing it on screen would be so incredibly entertaining and mind-blowing and worth watching for anyone.
I agree.
And, yeah.
I know you're going to kill it. I cannot wait.
You are so funny, man.
I cannot wait.
Is that, just hypothetically, is that pressure when you're a musical artist having to play another musical artist?
I mean, when you start to look at all these different, what's love got to do with mm-hmm. it, how many are there? And like the great ones, like right. really impact culture. So when you're doing it, you want to impact culture the way those films did. You know, mm-hmm. we still talk about the Five Heartbeats. Mm-hmm. We still talk about the American Dream. We still talk about...
the Five Heartbeats wasn't a real
I
group.
Just found I that out.
What?
But when Robert Townsend was here, I found out it wasn't
oh, yeah,
a real
it wasn't
group.
A real group.
Right,
yeah.
I know. But, I mean, you find these places to... And you hear these stories to base it off of, like, mm-hmm. all these different things. But anyways, it's a lot. So beautiful.
I can't wait.
And you're also a person who one day somebody's going to be playing you in a biopic.
Ooh. Is that... wild.
Of course. Yeah, that's going to happen.
That is going to happen.
You too, Marseille.
Right. Huh? Right, you too, Marseille.
That's yeah, crazy.
I'm going to play you in a biopic too.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about who you would want to play you?
I haven't.
Would you want to see?
Look, I said.
Yeah.
Oh. No. I know I'm not going to put no.
Oh.
But I haven't even thought about it. The interesting thing is I haven't even thought about it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when time comes, if it comes.
It will come, for sure. Because your story is beautiful.
Thanks.
Marseille, who helps you with your finances? Because somebody in this room blew $30,000 in 30 minutes when they were younger. So who helps you with your finances?
My parents.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, as soon as I turned 18, I had a whole meeting with my accountants and everybody who is in charge of finances in my family and my world. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, that's one of the first things you think about when you turn 18 is, like, you got to pay bills now. You got to figure out houses or where you got to be.
And I was like, worst
yeah,
ever.
I know. That's how yeah, it's sad. But I think having the parents that I have, they were very, like, making sure that I just easily, of course, I still live with them. Mm-hmm. So, but I do have investment property kind of Ooh. Everywhere. So I'm, mm-hmm. I'm very, very yeah. grateful.
Oh,
Ms. Rowland, who let you do that? Who let you spend that $30,000?
Well, no one
minutes.
Lets me do anything.
Okay.
But I know, I have kids. I have like full on like responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Like when it's not just the house, it's like the kids and they school and extra money your school might want. Like even now, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's so many different things, but definitely investments. I'm having a lot of fun with investments. As
no, they're fun
right
and
now.
Exciting, and you get yeah. to flip houses.
They're really
stuff.
Fun when
it's
they work
cool.
out.
No, they are fun.
They work
and
out.
When you lose that money that you were like, I did this for that, you know, you get,
yeah.
you're definitely like bummed, but I do think that the earlier you find out about your finances, mm-hmm. the better you are on the other side,
no,
more responsible
for sure.
you are on the other side. Like I said, I've had money, lost money, had money again, and I'm grateful that I'm in a space now to where I'm like, oh, I'm learning, and this is fun. Now it's fun. I don't like to you know, cut the check and see mm-hmm. like that part of the taxes go. I'm like, dang, you know what I mean? But you understand how the world runs and works.
Yeah, so, for yeah. sure.
But I thought this was in the beginning of your career when you spent that kind of money so
what?
Fast. The $30,000 in 30 minutes.
I know, I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not now.
Yeah.
Not now.
Okay. What was it on?
Well, sometimes that happens if I see art.
Yeah.
Art, okay. That's a good investment.
I do love art.
That's a good investment.
Marseille knows. You like the wearable art?
Yeah,
you know?
So I was like, ooh, this art. Me and Marseille went back and forth at the mm-hmm. wearable art gala because we both wanted a piece so mm-hmm. bad.
Yeah, it was so, Kendrick
yeah.
Lamar.
Who got it?
Neither. Wait, did what? Yeah.
We didn't get it.
We didn't get it.
Somebody else actually from Houston got it, I found out.
Y'all drove yeah. that price yeah. up and then someone else swooped in and got it.
Yes. Basically.
All
sure.
proceeds went to Waco. Amen.
Hey. Well, Kelly and Marseille just had to do a quick drive-by, okay? Right. But fantasy football, November 25th.
Those Donkey of the Day sandals.
I'll get you some.
Okay.
Absolutely get you
don't
some.
Don't take those.
No, these no. these.
Don't take those.
You don't want these. Okay, Marseille. All right, we get it. All right.
We all did that.
Don't take those.
I wasn't specific, but.
November 25th, Fantasy Football. Kelly and Marseille, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having
That's
us.
That's right. It's the Breakfast Club.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.